You can't sleep, you can't eat, there's no doubt you're in deep.
Radio Night Live from New York, here's Kevin McCullough. Another
kiss. Well, hardcore fans of Kevin McCullough and Radio Night Live might remember a couple of years ago, Leslie Stahl, the great Leslie Stahl, joined us. For an in-depth conversation. It was mostly going to be about her book about being a grandmother, and I ended up taking the interview in a completely different direction. I'm not going to have to do that tonight, because tonight's discussion is actually about the very topic that we booked. Ira Rosen, the Emmy Award-winning producer for 60 Minutes. His new book is called Ticking Clock, Behind the Scenes at 60 Minutes. And Ira, it is a great pleasure to welcome you. Kevin McCullough, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
When you think about the success of 60 Minutes and its longevity, what do you attribute it to? You started with the broadcast when you were 26, but go back to that kind of first day when you went on your new job, and talk to me about what it was like to walk into this place that now has been on the air all these years.
So I was working at the time at WOR-TV, which a lot of people didn't even realize they had a news division. And I had done a story about how easy it was to get military secrets. Anyway, by luck, the film projectionist at 60 Minutes happened to be on the line with Don Hewitt, who's the creator of 60 Minutes, the next day. And he said, you know, Don, I saw the stuff that I saw something on TV. It was just like the stuff that we used to do. The fact that he said used to do is what caught his ear. And Don called my home. And I was, you know, I was bouncing. At that point in my life, I was kind of bouncing around in journalism. I was a sports writer in Fresno, California. I was a copy boy in Long Beach, California. I mean, I was nobody. And Don calls my house. My mom answers and says, he says, "Hi, I'm Don Hewitt. Oh, I love your wife. She's great. What are you doing? Oh, I'm making a kugel. Oh, a kugel. I haven't had a good kugel in a long time." And Don says, "Listen, I'd like to talk to Ira. Is he around? I'd like to offer him a job as a producer on 60 Minutes. Ah, he's got a job already. Thank you. Appreciate you calling." And hangs up on him. And I said, "Mom, who's that?" And she says, "Oh, that was Don Hewitt of 60 Minutes. He wanted to offer you a job, but you have a job already. How many jobs do you need?" And so immediately I called Don back, and Don said, "Hey, kid, listen. I don't know about you, but I like your mother. So if you don't want the job, tell her it's hers. But I kind of wanted the job." So I went there the next day and I met with Don. And, you know, I told Don I learned the art of storytelling from working in the Catskill hotels. Huh. I was a tennis pro, a busboy, waiter, lifeguard. And I used to work the night lights at the Catskills and listen to these great comedians, Dan Murray and Red Buttons and of course, Henny Youngman. And they, you know, the great Henny Youngman joke, you know, "Take my wife, please." It's all of four words, but it has a beginning, middle, and end, has motivation, it has a subject. And I said, you know, you could tell stories in a short form. And Don says, "That's exactly the way I learned it, too." And so the next thing I know, he walks me down the hallway to Mike Wallace, and he says to me on the way there, he says, "It doesn't matter if I like you, he has to like you." Mm. And at the time, Mike Wallace was the number one correspondent on the number one show in the country. And I'm a little 26-year-old pitcher, and I'm sitting there, and Mike looks at my resume, and he's completely unimpressed. And he says, "I know what I could do for you. What could you do for me?" And I noticed there was a tennis ball off in the corner. And I said, "Do you play tennis?" And he said, "What's it to you?" And I said, "Well, I was on the Cornell tennis team." And Mike said to me years later, he said, "That clinched the job for me, because if I didn't work out as a producer, he could get 6 months of good tennis out of me before firing me." So that's how I got my job.
Wow. That is Ira Rosen, whose new book is called Ticking Clock, Behind the Scenes at 60 Minutes. Of course, 60 Minutes has to be, I just don't think there's anything close to it in the television history landscape of America as the preeminent news production show in American history. All the networks have tried something that kind of was a similar copy to it. All of them failed. None of them are still around in their original tries. They're still trying to do something that's like it, but there is nothing else like it. Ira, I remember in discussing this, some of this history with Leslie, and obviously you come at it from a different perspective because you were behind the camera and she was on, and obviously Mike was on, and the handful of people that have been reporters that have been on the camera all this time. But let me ask you, what do you think is the secret sauce of 60 Minutes? Why was it always so much more well photographed, well cut, well edited, well written than everything else that all the other networks tried? What did you guys have that was different than everything else?
Well, when Don created the show, he wanted it to have a film look. He was a fan of movies, and we shot back then in 16 millimeter. And, you know, and those films would run about 11 minutes each. And the editors had to splice the tape together, like every cut had to be spliced together with a piece of tape. And Don wanted it to be the story. You know, he said it has to work on the ear before it works on the eye. Hmm. And you have to learn how to tell a story. And that was the magic of the, that's really why it succeeded. He gathered the best storytellers. You know, Leslie is one of my heroes. I worked with her for a period of time and she's extraordinary. You know, and what I'm going off subject for a second, but you know, she would, she's not only a great storyteller and a great interviewer, she's also a great person.
Right.
And her team of producers is very, very loyal to her, and she's very loyal to them. And you know, you judge a person how supportive they are, not when you're all both having good times, you know, on the award stage, but you judge them when you're having the bad times, when you're having a hard screening or a story's not going right. And Leslie is there with you, holding your hand and being with you throughout the whole process. But getting back to what makes 60 Minutes so great is it took you to places that people had never been before. It was Morley Schaffer on the Orient Express.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Harry Reisner going to the most expensive meal he could imagine, or you know, the brilliant thing, which I think about, where he found the movie Casablanca. They were selling the set of Casablanca. And what he did was he went there the day they were selling it. And he did a story. Everyone remembers who they saw Casablanca
right.
with. Here's looking at you, kid. And he wore a tuxedo when he did that stand-up. And it was just so magical. I was talking to...
Ira, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We've got to take this quick break. It's Radio Night Live. It's Kevin McCullough. We are talking with Ira Rosen, who has seen it all behind the scenes at 60 Minutes. Coming on board as the youngest producer of the most popular show in American history. And over the next 40 years, he's had the inside seat on so many things. We're going to ask him about some of them. But the new book, Ticking Clock, Kevin McCullough, coming right back.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Yeah, I know that it doesn't seem quite intuitive because people that have followed me in the news talk space for a while, you may say, Kev, I thought that you are a center right kind of, marketplace conservative and you don't trust the mainstream media and some of this stuff. Some of that's true. I don't have a lot of appreciation for a lot of the product that's put out there on the 24-hour cycle. It is hard to deal with. It's the same story every 15 minutes with no depth. But when I tell you that I have immense appreciation on every level for the production of 60 Minutes and have for years, that is no lie. And the brand new book by St. Martin's Publishing Group is called Ticking Clock, Behind the Scenes at 60 Minutes. And it was written by Ira Rosen, who for the majority of his career was the producer for one Mike Wallace, who we all miss as part of 60 Minutes. And of course, he's the father of Chris Wallace of Fox News fame. But Ira, the things that you've seen and worked on, the list is long and legendary. And I would love for you to just give some of your favorite tidbits of history. You don't have to give the whole book away, because obviously I want people to go out and get the book. And it's, by the way, it's a beautiful book as well. I just got my copy. I'm looking forward to digging into it. But what were some of the highlights of your 40 years manning those stories and writing those stories and editing those stories and making sure that Mike got the right narration on screen so that he could get the right pictures put together so that that 11-12 minute package was just perfect? And by the way, we don't do long form anymore. I mean, it's 60 minutes is the only place where they're still doing long form, and I think we would be a better place if we had more of it.
No, I agree with you. And you have to understand, being a producer on 60 Minutes is basically being having a license to kill. You're like in some ways you're like Superman. You're righting the wrongs of society. You're getting people out of jail who don't belong. And, you know, because of the reach and the power of it, and all the phone calls get returned, especially back then, because the audience was, you know, rivaled that of a Super Bowl, you could really make changes in society, and you could do stories that affect people. And, you know, I could go through those stories, but people I think are more, you know, in some ways, you know, I think back to the people I met and people I was lucky enough to meet. For example, Joe Bonanno. Joe Bonanno ran the Bonanno crime family, organized crime.
Right.
He had written a book, Men of Honor, and he only agreed to do one interview, and that was with me and Wallace. And I went down to Tucson, Arizona, and we did the interview, and it was a two-part interview, which was a little different because it actually was spread over two nights, which 60 Minutes I don't think ever had done before. And after the interview, I'm sitting with Joe in the backyard, and we're having a cognac, and I say to Joe, you know, as a Jewish kid growing up in New York, I admired two people in particular, Sandy Koufax and Meyer Lansky. And what was it about Lansky that was so amazing? And he says to me, he had the picture. I said, picture? What picture? Well, he had a picture, apparently, according to Bonanno, of J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI director, and Clyde Tolson, his chief of staff, having sex together. And he said that picture prevented, the FBI or caused Hoover to say there was no such thing as organized crime, and he never chased organized crime. I think he even resisted even after Appalachia in 57. And he said that was the value of Lansky. He had the picture. Then I asked him, who killed Kennedy? And he said, well, when the Kennedy assassination happened, he called down to Miami, where Santos Trafficante was in charge of the mafia back then. And he said, and Santos told him, he said, listen, New York is absolved of this. Miami and New Orleans, which is run by Carlos Marcello, will take the heat. And, you know, Bonanno hangs up the phone and he says, you know, that was a little curious. So he sends his consigliere down to Miami to talk to Trafficante. Trafficante says, we tried to knock him off in Miami, you know, with some Cuban exiles. That didn't work. And we took care of the business with a Corsican hit team in Dallas. And, you know, what Joe told me later, he said, you know, I didn't ask any questions. I accepted this. And, you know, he moved on. And so those are the type of people you met. And through that, I got to meet Marlon Brando. Now, Marlon Brando was, you know, was a recluse at the time, was one of the most extraordinary actors, you know, whoever was on the movie screen. And, you know, so Marlon had seen, you know, had heard about the Bonanno piece. He calls me up. And we began a long, long dialogue over millions of various phone calls. So we get to this Italian restaurant, and Marlon starts and says, you know, Mike, you're a great actor. And what do you mean I'm an actor? I'm a journalist. No. I love the way the raised eyebrow, the look of astonishment. You're a master. So Mike changes the subject. Marlon, how do you get so fat? And, well, I go to Baskin and Robbins, and I order each one of their flavors, and I can't decide what I want. So I order every one, and I bring it home. I end up eating all the quarts. I had one more conversation with Brando. Brando calls me up, and he says, you play the stock market. And I said, I don't have much money, but I had a little bit. He said, let me give you a stock tip. What's that? A company called Apple. I said, I never heard of it. You will, trust me. Put all your money into it. So I tell Wallace about this. And Wallace says, you're going to buy the company? You're going to buy the stock? I said, Mike, why would I take a stock tip from a guy who can't decide what flavor ice cream he wants?
What a great story. It's Kevin McCullough. It's Radio Night Live. We're talking to Ira Rosen. We're coming right back.
Raven?
If I should take a notion, dump myself into the ocean, ain't nobody's business if I do.
Back to Kevin McCullough, live from New York.
If you missed any part of our discussion tonight with Ira Rosen, friends, I want you to go back and get the podcast. It is an incredible book, Ticking Clock. I can't wait. I just got my copy. I haven't read it yet. I'm so excited now, having heard some of the stories and some of the behind the scenes. I cannot wait to actually dig into it as soon as we're off the air with Ira tonight. But Ira, again, thank you for taking your time. Very generous of you to loan it to us like this on this extended basis. Let me get into the a couple of your other stories that you touch on, and you've told us so far from some pop culture and some organized crime stuff. Let's talk politics for a second. What have you seen on your journey at 60 Minutes behind the scenes that my audience would not have known about?
Well, let me start from the most recent one, which is the era of Donald Trump. And one of the people who I got to know and chase a little bit was Steve Bannon, who became the senior advisor to Trump. And I got to know him a few years back. When I first got to know him, I called him up and I had heard that Trump was going to run for president. And I said, hey, let's go meet at a bar or whatever. We were going to meet at Ted Turner's place. And I go there and I don't see the guy. He ends me up. What the hell? And so then I call him up. And he said, hey, brother, I was at the bar. I said, I didn't see you. So we have breakfast the next morning. He comes and he is totally disheveled. His hair is a mess. He's got a long beard. He's wearing like a army flak jacket. And he sits in your baggy pants and he sits down. And he says, I'm going to run the Donald Trump campaign. He's running for president. And there was so much wrong with the scene. First off, it's like Trump doesn't know what, at that point, didn't really know what he was doing. Bannon doesn't. Bannon was making documentaries about the end of the world. And and he's telling me he's going to be running, a presidential campaign. And it was so absurd. But anyway, and we all know what happened. So, they're now in the White House. And what I used to do is I used to go down to Washington on weekends and I would hang out with Steve in the West Wing. And Jared Kushner would be observing the Sabbath, and Priebus, who was the chief of staff at the time, the first chief of staff, he was having a date night with his wife. And Steve really had no life at the time. And he decided he doesn't drink alcohol. He drinks Diet Coke. So we were drinking Diet Cokes and hanging out in the chief of staff's office, just kibitzing. And this is part of what you do as a 60 Minutes producer. You're trying to develop trust. You're trying to develop you're playing the long game, if you will.
Sure. All relationship.
It's all relationships. And you have these ups and downs. And what I always try to do is that when Steve was having, if you will, a bad day at work, I jump on an airplane and fly down and go to his place. He had a place on Capitol Hill called the Embassy, where, Breitbart News Service is in the basement. They operate out of there. So I was there on one particular time, and he was feeling pretty good. He had just gotten the Paris Environmental Accords rejected, where Trump pulled out of
those. Right, right.
Those accords. So, he's feeling like in a storytelling mood. So he says, let me tell you what happened in Europe when the president met with the Pope. And I'm going to clean it up here. I'm not going to use, I'm going to keep this,
family friendly. Yeah, gotcha.
So I'll keep it family friendly. But I had in the book, I actually tell the language he's used. But president, according to what Bannon told me, he says, I'm taking pictures with the Pope. Why can't he smile? He gives me a book about the environment. That's what his gift to me is. What do I need a book about the environment for? And then we're posing for pictures. And I got Melania to my left. I got the Pope to my right. And Ivanka is standing on the other side of the Pope. And Melania is all angry because you know, she wants to stand next to the Pope. So she shouts out, "I'm a Catholic." And like, I don't know what I'm, you know, Trump's saying, "I don't know what's going to happen. I got my daughter on the other side. I got my wife here." And meanwhile, the Pope refuses to smile. And he says, "The next stop I make is I go to NATO headquarters." And I walk into NATO headquarters, and the building is made out of glass. And I'm saying to myself, this is supposed to withstand World War III. I could take this place out with a hand grenade. And I think one of the things that people don't understand about Trump, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of noise out there. He's got an incredible sense of humor.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he's got this New York gangster sense of humor in a weird way. And, I mean, you know, he's a raconteur. You know, he's extraordinarily entertaining. And the stories that I have in the book and also stories I hear from Steve, you know, he's hilarious. And so anyway, those are a couple that I talked about.
Well, friends, I want you to read more. Ticking Clock is the name of the book, Behind the Scenes at 60 Minutes by Ira Rosen. Ira, real quickly in the time we have left, what's your hope for long-form journalism? Do you see 60 Minutes being on the air for another, you know, 40 years? And if not, what? How do you think it fits in the changing landscape of what media is now?
Well, I think there's a show on PBS called Frontline that has done some extraordinary stuff week in and week out. They have great collaborations. They're great storytellers. And it reminds me of I worked at Primetime Live at ABC in the early days when we did a lot of hidden camera stories, and people would say, "I can't believe they've done it again." And that's sort of what I see Frontline does week in and week out. I think 60 Minutes is going to be on the air, you know, for hopefully will be on the air forever. You know, it doesn't mean that they're doing the stories that they did when I worked there, especially in the 1980s. Think of it as a fashion designer. You know, you're not going to wear the same dress you wore in the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah,
and 70s.
But
you know, there's an involvement of fashion.
But over time, it has remained relevant to the era that it's at. And I think that's one of the amazing things about it.
That's exactly right. And what they're doing now is they're doing much more topical stories. They're turning around their stories in a few days. And they're on top of the news with pandemic stories. They certainly covered the election.
Yeah.
And so it's gotten away from the adventures of the correspondent. And more.
I see what you're saying.
Stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ira, congratulations on a great work. Ticking Clock, Behind the Scenes at 60 Minutes. Please come back to Radio Night Live sometime. Love the conversation. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Kevin McCullough, coming right back.